when Black Friday comes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining me as Marketplace covers the financial crisis fallout. The holiday shopping season officially begins 2 weeks from today. This year, they might have to call it Black Hole Friday. The government says retail sales fell 3% in October, just under that. That's the worst month on record. Ken Perkins is president of Retail Metrics. He says this isn't just bad news for retailers.
It's going to spill over into all kinds of services. You know, we pretty much have a service-based economy here in the U.S., so it's more than just a drop in the bucket. It is very, very concerning.
Wall Street gets it. So far, the Dow is down 65 points to 87.69. The NASDAQ is off by 29, and the S&P 500 has fallen 11 points. The overseas markets closed higher today. The retail numbers weren't out yet. In Frankfurt, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke pledged to work with central banks around the world to fix the financial woes. That kind of coordination could become a regular part of life. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
Last month, central banks surprised the markets with a coordinated half-point interest rate cut. Catherine Mann, a professor at the Brandeis International Business School, says that's something we may see more of, with one caveat.
The different central banks do have different mandates. For example, we know the European Central Bank, their mandate is price stability. It is not about global GDP.
Mann says coordination is most likely when it comes to manipulating exchange rates and least likely when it comes to regulating the financial markets. Brad Setzer at the Council on Foreign Relations sees some risk to coordination.
Even if you have a global economy, different countries are going to be at different points in their own economic cycle at different points in time.
Setzer says central banks are unlikely to wait for their counterparts to act if their own needs demand immediate attention. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
U.S. carmakers got a kick in the shins today from Europe. Three big credit issuers have revoked coverage for auto parts suppliers of Ford and GM. We're joined now by Marketplace's Elisa Roth in New York. Elisa, exactly what does this mean?
Well, credit insurance basically protects the suppliers if the company that they're supplying goes bankrupt. So in practical terms, this mostly affects European operations of the car makers because U.S. suppliers mostly work without insurance. It will make things more difficult for the car makers in Europe because it's just going to be harder to keep the supply chain open. But more importantly, this is really a vote of no confidence for the auto industry. So even if the government does come through with some money, things are never going to be the same in Detroit.
And on that subject, yesterday there was a big lobbying effort from the auto industry to get some of the money from the $700 billion bailout package. What are the chances that's going to happen?
Zero to none. Paulson has said that the big three are important for the U.S. economy, for the global economy, but he's sticking to his guns that $700 billion is only for the financial institutions and that if they need help, they're going to have to look elsewhere.
And elsewhere, is there anything?
Well, the big three were hoping that elsewhere would be Congress, but it's looking more and more like that's not going to happen. The Democrats have been pushing really hard for some kind of help to the auto industry, but they don't have the majority, and President Bush still has veto power over the whole thing.
So what now?
Well, they're supposed to hold on till January when President-elect Obama takes office, but it's really not clear that they can hold on that long.
Okay, Elisa Roth in New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, November 14th on Marketplace.org. Today's the deadline for banks that want money from TARP. That's the fund set up by Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson as part of the rescue package. Banks can get money from the fund, and in exchange, the government gets shares in the banks. But that's not all the government might take. Ashley Millen-Tite explains.
After Secretary Paulson announced the plan, banks large and small said they wanted the option to sign up. but it's not clear how many of them actually have. Matt Slaughter teaches at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. He says the need for cash isn't something banks necessarily want to advertise to depositors and shareholders. An injection of capital would let them shore up their balance sheets and lend again, but he says there could be disadvantages too.
There's a potential cost to the companies of having the government be involved in a much more direct way in their business. That's sort of hard to quantify what that might mean in the future, but we already see that some of the major banks receiving capital injections from the government are now being looked at very differently.
Take company compensation. The government's made clear it doesn't want its money going on big bonuses and golden parachutes. Slaughter says whatever happens, banks can be sure they won't get a free lunch. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Have you booked your holiday travel yet? Tickets are fairly expensive. The airlines are seeing some drop in demand because of the economy, but the planes will still be pretty full. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Thanksgiving travel on U.S. airlines is expected to dive about 10% from last year. The Air Transport Association trade group says it's the first decline for holiday air travel in 7 years. The drag is largely due to the weak economy. Consumers are thinking twice before flying. Aviation analyst Richard Abulafia at the Teal Group says U.S. carriers depend on leisure travel to fill seats, so the drop in demand will likely catch up with them.
The big American legacy carriers, pretty much the entire U.S. airline industry, is unique in the world. It's heavily geared towards volume and critical mass rather than focusing on the best kind of traffic.
The best kind of traffic being business class and international flights. While there will be fewer people flying this holiday season, your plane will probably still be full. High fuel costs have forced most airlines to cut capacity. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
This weekend, leaders from the 20 largest countries meet in Washington to go over the financial crisis. It could be one of the most important international gatherings since the World Bank and IMF were founded 64 years ago. But as John Dimsdale reports, there are no guarantees of success.
This weekend's host, George Bush, told a Wall Street audience yesterday it's time to bring the global economy into the 21st century, and that means overhauling financial rules established just after World War II.
One vital principle of reform is that our nations must make our financial markets more transparent. For example, we should consider improving accounting rules for securities so that investors around the world can understand the true value of the assets they purchase.
To get a grip on the world's financial problems, the White House decided to expand the invitation list beyond the biggest developed economies to include leaders of developing countries such as China, Brazil, and Indonesia. MIT economist Simon Johnson says giving growing economies a say in the solutions means they can also underwrite some of the costs.
In return for making their contributions, it is quite likely that the Chinese and maybe some other people would want changes in the governance of the IMF. That governance overweights Europe right now. And, you know, China and other emerging markets have been trying to reduce that representation for some time. This may be a good opportunity for China to push that agenda along.
This is the first ever meeting of the 20 world leaders, but David Chavern at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wonders whether letting them all have the stage will lead anywhere.
Each head of state is going to get something like 15 minutes to talk. That kind of event and process doesn't lead you to a new financial regulatory structure internationally.
But Fred Bergsten at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says even if ambitions are pared down, it's important for world leaders to at least appear united.
The G20 countries have to be very careful to avoid any appearance of significant conflict between them that could undermine confidence in the very fragile financial markets.
This summit will be just a start, says Bergsten, especially since one important world leader won't even be there, President-elect Barack Obama. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The sports world has been hit by the financial crisis just like every other industry. But NASCAR may face the toughest challenge of all. It's highly dependent on sponsorship and the American carmakers. The racing season ends this Sunday, and on Monday we're hearing there could be a lot of layoffs. Our Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad is here. Diana, is this all about the loss of sponsorship?
There are definitely sponsors that are dropping out. Ford has dropped the Ford Craftsman truck series. But what's really going to happen, the pink slips, are with the crew. You know, there are several teams already who have dropped 50. They've dropped 50 guys just, you know, in the last couple of weeks. But the heads are going to roll come Monday.
You know, you hear a lot of people when they talk about the automakers that they put themselves in this situation by mismanaging over the years. What about NASCAR? Has it put itself in this situation?
Well, Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, and he's an insider, but he's the first one to say they got greedy. When the popularity rose so high and, you know, you'd have 120,000 people at some of the speedways, they decided to expand the season. So, you know, according to Dale Earnhardt Jr. and a lot of the fans, they're just exhausted at this point. It's just they're saturated. It's too much racing.
Too much, so cut back on the schedule.
But it would also obviously cut costs. I mean, you can imagine, you know, how much fuel is being spent, how many practice laps are being run. Don't run so many parties, you know, for the week going into the races. I mean, you know, I heard through the grapevine that Joe Gibbs of Joe Gibbs Racing has asked his people to analyze if they fly their private jet at a slower speed, how much fuel that will save.
Really?
They're counting the pennies now.
And how about the fans? I mean, are they still going to the races in as many numbers? Are they still watching on TV?
The fans are definitely depleted at the racetrack. Now, plenty of empty seats. And as far as television, last weekend was the penultimate race of the season, okay? So we're building up to supposedly the drama at the end of the season. With 34 laps to go, ABC switches and puts on America's Funniest Home Videos. And NASCAR felt that was the biggest slap in the face they've ever received.
They switched it to ESPN or something?
ESPN2.
Wow. All right, Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Share your thoughts with us online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.